wasn't that far to the Lucky Lizard office, and when Frank got there, he saw that the confrontation had spilled out of the building and into the street. Tip Woodford stood on the sidewalk, an old-fashioned cap-and-ball revolver in his hand. Red-faced with anger, he brandished the heavy gun as Brighton stood a few yards away in the street. Thomas Tip Woodford looked more like a miner than a mine owner. He had graying red hair, and his blocky body was clad in overalls, a slouch hat, and work boots, the same sort of outfit he had worn when he was still a penniless prospector. He had made a fortune, lost it, then made another one, and stayed pretty much the same throughout.
Pa, don't!
His daughter, Diana, clung to his left arm. Tip shrugged her off and jabbed the old revolver's barrel toward Brighton.
I'm sick and tired of you, mister. You come around here bothering us to give me that line of bull you've been spouting, and I'll blow a hole in you. I swear I will.
Tip, it's Frank Morgan. Put that gun down before you hurt somebody.
You heard you were back in town, Frank. Good to see you.
It's good to be back. At least it was until you started threatening to ventilate, folks.
This thieving varmint don't qualify as folks. He's like a hydrophobia skunk that you got to shoot before it gets in your chicken house.
You heard the man, Marshal. He's threatened my life. I want you to arrest him.
There's no need for that. Tip's not gonna hurt anybody. He's just mad. And he's going to put the gun down. Do it now, Tip.
Please, Pa. It's not gonna help anything if you shoot that fella. Then you'll just go to prison for murder.
Or the gallows.
You're not helping matters, Brighton.
Frank moved forward, holding his hand out toward Woodford, palm down, making gentle motions toward the ground. The mayor didn't lower the gun, though, until Frank eased between him and Brighton.
Dadgummit, Frank. You've been gone. You don't know what this varmint's been up to.
I heard quite a bit about it already. Why don't you give me that hog leg and we'll go into the office and talk about it.
Woodford hesitated, then finally shrugged and placed the cap and ball in Frank's hand.
Aren't you going to arrest him, Marshal? I'll swear out a formal complaint.
Back east you might get away with that, Brighton, but not here. No harm's been done, so move along. Anyway, you shouldn't have come down here and provoked the situation. I want you to steer clear of the Lucky Lizard office from now on.
You're a poor excuse for a lawman, taking sides this way, Morgan. Maybe I should get in touch with the authorities in Carson City and request that a U.S. Marshal be sent down here to restore some real law and order.
You go right ahead and do that if you want to, mister. You just go right ahead.
You'll never get your hands on the Lucky Lizard with your legal trickery, Brighton. That mine belongs to me, fair and square. Jeremiah Fulton had every right to sell it to me. He never even said anything about having a partner.
Of course he didn't. He knew he was swindling you. But this will all come out in court. You're a fool, Woodford. You could have had a quarter share in the mine, strictly out of the goodness of my heart. But now I'm going to take all of it away from you. Every last penny. You and your daughter will be left with nothing, you pathetic old oaf.
Tip's face flushed a dark brick red, and he lunged at Brighton and smashed a blow into the Easterner's jaw. The punch rocked him back a step, but he didn't go down. As he caught his balance, he struck back, hammering a left into the mayor's midsection and then chopping a sledging right across his face.
Pa!
As Woodford sagged to one knee, Brighton closed in on him, drawing back a leg to kick him in the face. Frank grabbed Brighton's shoulder and shoved him to the ground instead.
That's enough, blast it!
You saw it, Marshal. If pointing a gun at me wasn't enough, now he's physically attacked me. If you're a real lawman and not just Woodford's lapdog, you have to arrest him!
Unfortunately, Brighton was right. Tip had crossed the line, and the crowd that had gathered around to watch the angry confrontation had seen the whole thing. Tip hadn't left him with any choice. Stepping over to the mayor, who was still on one knee, Frank reached down and took hold of his arm.
Come on, Tip.
You arresting me? Frank? Me?
You shouldn't have taken a poke at Brighton. That's assault and disturbing the peace.
He's the one who disturbed the peace of this town.
Frank, you can't do this.
The law says I have to.
It's all right, Frank. We hired you to be the marshal and enforce the law, and I reckon that's what you gotta do, whether any of us like it or not.
And I sure don't.
Are you taking him to jail?
That's right.
And I assume you'll let him go as soon as you get there. This is all for show, isn't it?
Nope. Mayor Woodford will be treated like any other prisoner. He'll stay in jail until he posts bail. And then his case will be heard by the circuit judge when the judge holds court here.
Who's going to set the amount of the bail?
Well, as a mayor, I generally do that. Reckon this time it'll be up to the marshal.
You usually set bail at $20 for offenses like this, Mayor. So to make sure there aren't any complaints about favoritism, I'm gonna set the bail at $50 for you.
That's a joke! He can pay that without any trouble!
I've more than doubled the usual bail. If that's not enough to satisfy you, Bryden, then you can take it up with the judge when he gets here.
Don't think for a second that I won't.
Come on, Tip.
Get the bail money from the office and bring it over later, honey. No need to get in any hurry about doing it, though. I don't mind sitting in jail for a while. It's been a long time since I've been behind bars.
Frank led the mayor away.